with you.
Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. And wow, look,
Woo,
this is
woo,
the
woo.
season finale
What?
of Under the
Wow.
Radar.
Wait, we're not doing this anymore?
Well, we'll
It's
talk
my
about that bit
favorite
at the end of the
show.
show. It doesn't mean we're going less under the radar. We're actually going to be going a lot more under the radar podcasts. And we'll get to that at the end of the show. Beginning Saturday, we're going to have a whole new way that we're handling things here. But first of all, I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. That's David Griggs. We got David Dorman with us as well. And Griggs, for anybody that's new to the show, number one, where have you been all season? And number two, what is under the radar?
Well, under the radar is where have you been all season? If you're new to the show, I mean that really is the probing question. But the simplest definition is that it is the 23 normally one bid leagues. There's no rule that says they only get one. There's at least one and probably two that we're going to talk about tonight to where we think they'll get more than one. But that's what it is. So it's not the Power Four, which is the Big 10, Big 12, SEC, and ACC, nor is it the other five regular multi-bid leagues, the Big East, the Mountain West, the American, the West Coast, and usually, but not this year, the Atlantic 10.
And even more importantly, it's a show that starts off with this graphic
Yeah, look at
under the
that
radar.
graphic. Man, that is a sharp-looking graphic. Our
The
art department has been working overtime. I mean, it's just
budget is
amazing.
gone. Just wait till you see me break out a championship week. We haven't even gone to just the tip of the iceberg so
I
far.
know. I mean, we have all. I mean, we've partnered with the Basketball Art Institute, and they have come up with some amazing work for the site.
We like to do is go through all these conferences in alphabetical order, except for a feature conference. And I take a look at the list of ones we haven't done yet. I thought I got a pretty good one here, but I actually thought I'd start the show not with the standings in our feature conference as of right now. I want to take a look at our feature conference 29, almost 30 years ago, 1996.
Oh,
This was
wow.
the standings at the end of the season in our feature conference for the night. Not quite an under the radar league, was it, Griggs?
Oh, I wasn't. It was a multi-bid league. If this is 96, I believe. Okay, no, it was 98, excuse me, where that Utah team was the national runner-up. Yeah, you had how many teams went that year?
Oh, at least three, I think, maybe four. I mean, I think three teams went that year. Definitely that Utah, that New Mexico team. It was not the league that we look at over here. The WAC. Nine teams left in the conference. On top of that, Seattle on their way out next year off to the West Coast Conference. Believe it's going to become official the next day or two here that both Utah Valley and California Baptist are on their way to the Big West 2 years from now. Grand Canyon on the way
Which
to the
is which
Mountain
is an
View.
11? Is that now a 13-team Big West?
No, because Hawaii is leaving, so
Oh,
it'll be
Hawaii's leaving,
12.
yeah.
Yeah. Hawaii's going full Mountain West. Grand Canyon on the way to the Mountain West, possibly next season, more likely 2 seasons from now. So the Grand Canyon, the Lopes may actually be in the WAC one more year. We're definitely going to be down to eight, maybe seven next year. Be down to four after that, and I don't, five after that. Arlington's had rumors about where they're going. Southern Utah makes sense to go back to the Big Sky, honestly. Abilene Christian might make sense to go back to the Southland Conference. Maybe take Tarleton with them. Maybe Southern Utah takes Utah. Long story short, next year, maybe the final year, very likely to be the final year we ever see the Western Athletic Conference.
Yeah, and it's a conference that's far more storied than what people realize. It was not always under the radar. I would never say that it was a power conference, but maybe it
That's not under the
was.
radar. That is not under the radar,
That
what you said there.
is categorically not. Utah was a national runner-up. They almost won it all. New Mexico State had the same problems back then that they are now. Good regular seasons, but early tournament exits. But you saw deep tournament runs, and as an all sports conference, everybody sort of remembers those Boise State teams when they sort of exploded onto the scene and won the Fiesta Bowl. What no one really remembers was that they were members of the WAC, and the reason no one remembers that is that the WAC no longer plays football at the FBS level. I as a fan of the sport, I've always loved this league, even with its current lineup. There's some good stories. You've got the gigantic thing, whatever that is, out at Seattle. Utah Valley as a Beehive team has been a fun story. We fell in love with the Lopes when they were a transitional team and have watched their progress. Abilene Christian, while not having that success in the WAC, I believe they were Southland members the year they knocked out Texas, but also a relatively new D1 transitional team. Cal Baptist, also a former team of the people. Why is this league going away? Because I don't want it to.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the sign of where we're going here with the Pac-12 coming back. They're taking teams from conferences, they're taking teams from this conference. Dorman, how about this, what's probably the second to last year of the WAC here? And where we stand right now, over the past week, Utah Valley, another pair of wins and still in first place.
Still in first place. They're a game up in the loss column on the Lopes. And they're playing great basketball, the Wolverines. They really are. They came out rolling in the conference and they haven't let up at all. I believe the Lopes can take it up another gear. I really do. I think this team has experience and they have really good talent. It'll be interesting to see if Coach Drew can get them to take that leap. I think it's a two-team conference for the bid. I really would be surprised if we didn't see Utah Valley play Grand Canyon in the finals with the bid on the line. And I clearly think they're the best two teams.
I agree with Dorman. I mean, if you just look at the standings, you see how they've run away from everybody else. Utah Valley, an amazing 15-1 in their last 16 games, the lone loss being a bit of a blowout against Grand Canyon. But I think he's right about Grand Canyon. This is weird to say about a team that's won as many games as they have, but they've been kind of disappointing this year. We thought this would be a team that we probably wouldn't be talking about at this point on Under the Radar, because I think we thought back in October that they were going to be in the top 25 by the end of the year. They're certainly talented enough. They were in the round of 32 last year and returned just about all of that. They battled Alabama, who ultimately went to the Final Four. And this is a team that doesn't have a history of not playing up to its ceiling, but much of the year this year they haven't.
Yeah. And they've split this year, the season series. They both won on their home courts. And if we do see them in the final, it'll be in Las Vegas on a neutral court for the WAC title.
And that would be a fun game.
They do have a not only this week, but next week as well to go in the WAC here. But this week, at least, the Lopes hosting Texas Arlington in a tricky road trip to Seattle coming up this weekend. While Southern Utah has a Beehive game at Utah Valley. I'm sorry, Utah Valley, a Southern Beehive game against Southern Utah. Let's do that the other way around. By the way, we're shaping up for an 8-9 Beehive game in the conference tournament here with a little bit of an interesting thing here with the WAC. The conference tournament is played in Vegas, except for that opening round game, even though it's the day before the quarterfinals. They're playing that in St. George, Utah, in Utah Tech's home court. I guess they just didn't have the arena available in Vegas for that day. But it looks like Utah Tech might get a home game out of it the way they're
They
not
might.
playing well here.
Well, and I mean, for two Beehive teams, they have to play that game in Utah. I think that that's why the conference
And the
decided
winner could be playing Utah Valley on the course.
that.
If the standings stay as they are, we'll see what happens. But
Yeah.
on that note, let's jump back and run through the rest of the leagues here in alphabetical order, beginning in the America East, which, Griggs, how about Vermont? They waited way late in the season, but I think they have actually finally turned it on.
Yeah, I think you're right. They kind of slept through their alarm and then slept through their snooze bar, but they're awake now, a game within Bryant, and sort of running away from the rest of the league. Maine was such a great story for so long, and while they still are, and they should get to host that quarterfinal game, with just 3 games to go, I don't think they're going to catch Vermont. I guess the question is, can Vermont catch Bryant? I don't think so. Bryant, They have the one game lead with three games remaining, and it doesn't look like any of them are overly tricky. As you see there, NJIT among the worst, UMBC not much better, and then
Well,
at
this
home. Oh, wait,
Lowell.
that's Vermont to the left. Bryant is on the right. And I disagree with you. I think Vermont can catch Bryant right
I
now.
disagree with me too. I was reading my damn notes wrong. I was looking at Vermont's schedule instead of Bryant's.
Yeah, Vermont, very easy schedule here. Bryant, Silisco to Lowell and to Maine. If they just split those, I guess it comes down to whatever the next tiebreaker would be, which these conferences would. I don't have every tiebreaker in front of me at the
I'm
moment.
guessing it's next in standings, meaning whoever lost to the
Meaning Maine, which means, but if Bryant loses this game to Maine, that could give. If Bryant loses to Maine, that might give Vermont the title.
It would, yeah. That's a good point. So,
And why that's so important is because the championship game is on someone's home court.
yes.
So it is super important.
Yeah.
It is. And as far as the next week here coming up, we've got Thursday, Saturday, Tuesday to complete the season here. We just really looked at those most important games right there. Would like to see Maine get one more win to clinch at least a
Yeah.
quarterfinal game. They got a shot. Well, at New Hampshire and hosting Lowell, even if they can't win the Bryant game.
Right.
But Dorman, over in the A-Sun
Woo-hoo,
Conference,
look at this league. Wow.
other than one game that's going on as we record this, with Lipscomb with a 15-point second half lead on Central Arkansas, the regular season is complete here, based on tonight's results. If Lipscomb holds on, they will actually get that one seed. They do win the tiebreaker with North Alabama, by the way. But first of all, Dorman, your thoughts on the conference here as it head gets ready for conference tournament.
Yes, as you said, Chad, in a few minutes when that game goes final, we will have our first official bracket for 2025 March Madness, right?
I'll
And,
throw one at you here.
oh,
This is unofficial.
okay.
It could not be. I may have mistakes in here, but based on my understanding of the tiebreakers, this is what your ASUN bracket should look like right here on the screen.
So we do. We have our first bracket,
Except
and
Lipscomb
we're
did
off.
not win that quarterfinal. That's a little mistake there. Ignore them in that Tuesday, Thursday game. They're back here on Monday.
A little programming thing
Little
since there's no
programming error
informant there.
there.
And how about North Florida taking on themselves, a little inner squad action going on in that 7-8
Like I
game.
said, it is unofficial, so there are a few errors here. That North Florida would be taking on Austin. No, sorry, it's not Austin Peay in that game. Let's go back to the standings. Yes, it is Austin Peay in that game. So ignore those standings. This has got tons of errors in it. Austin Peay should be the seventh seed there. Queens would be there at the sixth seed playing Florida Gulf Coast.
However it comes out with the bracket, and we'll see it real soon. This conference tournament to me is wide open. There's a lot of teams. One, a couple of teams are playing as good as they have all year. I think North Alabama has a chance to win this conference tournament.
Oh,
Florida
absolutely.
Gulf Coast is playing good basketball. Jacksonville's solid. I think that this is going to be a great conference tournament. It starts Sunday night. It's the first one to tip off, and I think it's wide open. I think any of those top four seeds have a chance. And even Eastern Kentucky not playing their best, but I've seen him play as good as anyone. This will be a great tournament.
Yeah,
Yeah,
and
how about congrats to North Alabama, their first ever conference D1 conference regular season title, albeit looks like it's going to be a shared title, Griggs.
Yeah, it is. So, but you're right. Since transitioning up, a really good story, and Dorman talked about like how much fun the tournament is. Look at the Jacks Eastern Kentucky game, the Gulf Coast Queens game. I mean, those are just going to be really as early as the quarterfinals. You're going to have some really good games.
We should be starting. I think we are locked in. North Florida and Austin Peay will be playing. That game should be played at North Alabama. Stetson Central Arkansas will be playing that game. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That game. The Stetson Central Arkansas will be played at Lipscomb some point Sunday. I assume it's Sunday evening. They could be afternoon, I guess, because it is a Sunday. But that's going to be the start of championship week. So as far as upcoming games for this week. Just the one that we're looking to finish here. So let's jump right on over, Dorman, to the Big Sky Conference, which has become pretty darn interesting with Northern Colorado trying to bounce back including the win in the Nokowi-Woo Cup last Thursday night. After they had their stumble, though, that let Montana take the conference lead.
Yes, Montana does have the conference lead. They have a one loss less, obviously, there than Northern Colorado. A few weeks back, I was complimenting Northern Colorado. I thought they were going to run away with this, and they did not. Montana's played really well. This might be a two-conference race come the tournament, but we've seen crazier things, and there's going to be these games are going to be played in Idaho, and Idaho and Idaho State both have solid ball clubs and look like they'll be like right around the 4 and 5 seeds. So stay tuned. This will be very exciting. But yes, Montana has the inside track there at the top seed.
How about Montana thundering down the stretch here, 9 straight wins and counting? They're just on fire right now.
They are. They've got a. We see the next 3 games here at Sacramento State, at Portland State, and hosting Eastern Washington. So a couple tricky road. Well, maybe not the Sacramento State, but that game
Yeah, Sac State
Portland
is,
State
yeah.
is a tricky one for them. Well, Northern Colorado at Northern Arizona and at Weber, so that could be we could be tied.
Yeah.
Heading into the final game of the season. Season. What is this the final games of the season here? These 13.
There's three to
Three
go.
more.
Three to
Yeah.
go. Well, two
So
more for
this
Northern
weekend
Colorado.
and then next week.
Yeah, so Monday is the end of the season, or one more day after that, probably one more. So.
It is. Okay, yeah, 'cause I forgot. It's normally a Thursday Saturday format.
They start
Have they played on Monday at any point this year, or am I confusing this with
no,
another
this,
league?
yeah, I am double checking. Monday is the end of the regular season here in the Big Sky Conference. Their conference tournament is going to be starting a few days earlier because they now do, I believe they're going to be starting over next weekend, spreading it out over 4 days, 5 days actually, and with a tournament championship game on the Wednesday, the second Wednesday of the second week of championship week at the 11:30 p.m. start. So
Yeah.
nobody's going to be awake for that
On
one.
a Sunday night, I believe.
On a
Is that
Wednesday
Wednesday
night.
night? Seems like
Yeah,
a weird
we will
time.
be up.
We will. I believe they're
Yeah.
calling this Starch Madness. Is that right,
Starch
Jim?
Madness in Boise, Idaho.
Just the
Absolutely.
potatoes.
We're excited. Griggs,
Starch, oh, for
Big
Christ's sake.
South Conference, as we're going down the stretch in another league here, and High Point, I believe, has clinched the regular
They
season title
have.
with their win tonight.
Yeah. They're going to they've clinched it. It's not quite over yet, I don't think, but they are the first place team,
They clinched
which
it when what happened in Asheville tonight happened.
yeah.
Asheville
So
lost at home to Presbyterian. Not a good
right
look.
after looking so good, not the way to not the way to wrap things up, but High Point, first place clinching, you know what that means? It means that they will be wearing white in Johnson City.
Johnson City, Tennessee, hosting. Well,
Yeah.
it is fairly neutral. I mean, who's the closest team there?
I don't know, but what I mean, the tournament should be at High Point.
I mean, it's probably normally about an hour drive from Asheville to Johnson City, but I believe I-40 is still closed after the
Yeah.
washout from Hurricane Elite, so you've got to take some back roads. Probably takes twice as long these days,
Yeah.
unless I-40 is open again.
But High Point again, they've I think that they're the best team, not to take anything away from Asheville, albeit it's hard to take. You can take a few things away from them after the loss to Presby. But High Point, I think, was sort of the class of the league all year long. Even when they weren't in first place, it appeared like they had the most talent. And as far as who would be in the best position to give someone headaches in the round of 64 out of this whole conference, I think it's High Point.
During last week's show, we highlighted that tonight was going to be one of our favorite rivalries of this conference. Well, ESPNU came in and bumped the game a night to tomorrow night for national TV.
Yes,
But tomorrow night, national TV on ESPNU, it is,
Woo!
of course,
The
the
win.
Wynwood Cup.
Hit One of the
So.
more, yeah, I mean, one of the more sought after trophies in all of sports, the Wynwood Cup.
And absolutely, why else would ESPNU have taken this game when they could have
Yes,
taken
I
the High
mean,
Point or
no other
Asheville
reason.
game?
Yeah.
Torment over in the Big West Conference.
Oh, look at this league.
How about this conference? And we got San Diego, we got Irvine, and they f both found a way to, well, one of them found a way to do what they need to do. Irvine did not. They suffered that home loss to Northridge.
Yes,
Yeah,
they did. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. I think he called on you.
I thought Griggs even said last week to watch out for Northridge. It could give Irvine headaches, and Griggs was right on. Northridge came out strong, and Irvine was down a deficit right off the bat, and they never really got back into it. Northridge came up and stung them to get that surprising win, and it was in Irvine. So it looks like San Diego now has the inside track at the conference tournament top seed. And the question now becomes for the Big West, can we get two teams in to the tournament? It looks like Irvine would probably have to win the conference tournament. San Diego get the at-large. But what do you think about that, Griggs?
I think, not being a committee expert, when you look at this UC San Diego profile, I think that if they win out, they're going in. I think they might even go in on the first ballot.
That's San Diego, but I think the question more here is does Irvine have any at-large hopes left at this point?
Some, I can't imagine they're not going to get a look. And one of the things that is categorical about them is the 14 wins away from home that would be as many as 17 going into the conference tournament. And I don't think anybody has had 18 or more and been left out. I know that this was a long time ago, and there's nobody from that committee is still on it. But the year they selected Tim Cluse's Iona team, and no one could believe it, it was 19 wins away from home. They have a case. It just, for lack of a better term, I would be really disappointed if they don't get in, but it just doesn't look to me like the kind of profile that the committee would take. But UC San Diego, I think, definitely is.
I agree with you on that. I do want to give one other shout out of this conference, Griggs. That's to UC Davis.
Oh, yeah.
Congrats on getting a vote in the coaches poll this week.
Look at that. Coming in 37th, moving up the poll. And now we got to start thinking, you see there, 37th, that's inside the bubble. I mean, is UC Davis potentially going to
there
get
is
selected?
Some coach that thinks UC Davis belongs in the tournament as an at-large team. Obviously, somebody clicked the wrong button, probably meant to vote for UC San Diego.
Which raises the question, why didn't they have the coach vote again? Anyway,
they normally do get those corrected. I'm surprised they did not. But as of the last I heard, that was not corrected. Upcoming this week, and we talked about that Northridge team.
Yep.
Here it comes tomorrow night, UC San Diego. If they are going to be there, this is a must win.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night at Northridge.
And this is not going to be an easy game to win. Northridge has won 7 in a row. They won at UC Irvine during that streak. So it isn't just that they've been beating up on the bottom of the league. You know, Northridge clearly not with the overall profile and the overall season that Irvine and San Diego have had. But they are there now. I think right now, while it took them longer to get there, that they're there and they're playing as good as the other two. That's a really dangerous Northridge team.
Yeah, and if you came to me from the future and you told me, Griggs, that San Diego or Irvine didn't win this conference tournament, I'd be on Northridge. They're good.
Yeah, I think Northridge could win it.
Yeah.
And which makes another whole nother reason why UC San Diego needs to win this game tomorrow night.
Yes. So
they can try to make sure they get that one seed and be on the opposite side of the bracket from and not have to go through a semifinal, because you could the two seed is gonna get Northridge in that 2-3 semifinal, and that's a dangerous game.
Yeah.
Over in the Dorman in the CAA here, where Towson did stumble against Elon. Bounce back with the road win over Campbell, though, and here they are still two games up in first place.
Yeah, two games up. They came back strong after the loss to Elon. Elon's been playing better, too, so I don't think that was totally off the crazy path. But, yeah, they stubbed their toe. Townsend has less room for error now. I do still think Towson's is the best team in the conference. I'd be surprised if they didn't get the one seed in this conference tournament.
Oh,
but
yeah.
There's going to be a lot of teams gunning for them and able to beat them come tournament time. I believe this one's in D.C., and there's some teams, Wilmington, Charleston, right down the bat. They're 2 through 5 all are good basketball teams that will give Towson all they can handle.
Yeah, now Towson has clinched at least a share of
Okay.
first place with I think 2 games to go. If they beat William and Mary, when do they play? Is it Saturday? It's theirs outright. I don't remember off the top of my head what they did against Wilmington. I think they beat them, so they might
They
even have
beat
the
them.
tiebreaker. Yeah.
Yeah, they won.
And Towson, while they did lose a game last week, they're 13-1 in their last 14, and they've just been blowing through this league. And they sort of sleptwalked through their, out of conference games. They weren't. I remember making the comment on one of the earlier shows that we were kind of disappointed in how Towson was doing, but they've woken up since then.
Yeah, and this league has just been so weird though lately. Hampton suddenly red hot. They get the win over
Yeah.
Wilmington. Wilmington though bounces back with a win over William and Mary. Towson with loss to Eli, like we discussed. It seems to be just a lot of boomeranging back and forth, which means that I think it's going to be a wide open conference tournament. And
Oh,
I
yeah.
think you could go 8, 9 deep in teams that could win this thing also. Do we have Mr. Slika joining us?
It looks like I see
Yeah,
him
it
queued
looks
up
like he's
there.
there.
Yeah.
Silica, if you are joining us, we don't have your audio yet, so try to jump
Or
back
your
in again.
video.
Or your
We don't
video.
have audio or video, but other
You're
than that,
doing
John
great.
Stalica, ladies and gentlemen.
Towson's upcoming game, like Greg's mentioned, hosting William and Mary Thursday, hosting Hampton over the weekend. That is a hot Hampton team to watch out
Yeah.
for. A few other games, the rest of the games there are all on the screen, but let's go, Griggs. Let's jump over to Conference USA, where Jack State and Liberty are now tied in the loss column, although
Yeah.
Jack State has played one more game.
Yeah. In Middle Tennessee, sort of right behind them. So still kind of a log jam at the top. And while New Mexico State probably too far back to catch up, there's just not enough there. Also playing really well. And you've got Louisiana Tech and Western Kentucky down in seventh and eighth, who have sort of underperformed but are really talented. And I don't, Jack State has certainly had the most success. I think Liberty has the most potential. But if Western Kentucky won this conference tournament, it would not be the most shocking thing that I've ever seen, even though they're all the way down in eighth. The parity in this league is great. It's been fun to watch all year long, and it's going to be a fun tournament.
Well, I tell you, you don't want to be in seventh or eighth because then you're going to have to play that extra opening round game. And Sam Houston has been winning a few games lately, including winning at Western Kentucky last week. So
Yeah.
that's a there's a dangerous 9 seed in this in that opening round even
Yeah.
to at least pull an upset or two. And Dorman also though, New Mexico State was hot for a while, went cold. This week they
Yeah.
go and they pick up a pair of road wins, including the win at Jack State. They're red hot again.
I know they're up, they're down. Every time I say something good, they go cold. Every bad, they get hot. But you guys stole my thunder. This conference tournament is wide open. Nothing would surprise me outside of Florida International winning it. I don't know that there's that much difference in the top 9 teams in this conference. This is going to be great down the stretch here as we go down.
Well, Rocket City Madness—that's what we're calling it, at least. Even if they don't want to call it that, but we play this conference tournament in Huntsville, Alabama. Upcoming games this week—a huge one tomorrow night: Jacksonville State at Liberty. This is one of the best games of the night tomorrow night, quite honestly.
It really is, and that is a fun one, and it's first place implications or one seed implications.
Dorman over in the Horizon League. How about congrats to Morris Robert? And yes, it is Morris Robert for being in sole possession of, well, half a game up, I guess, at Cleveland State in first place now.
Yeah, I believe Cleveland State has played one game less, so I guess if they get that game in, they could be tied with the Robert Morrises. So that'll be an interesting a game to see how that goes. I don't know the tiebreaker. As we go down the stretch here, but another tournament that I think is wide open. I think your top 6, 7 seeds all could do damage, and Wright State solid too. So I don't even know why I don't go past 7. This is going to be real interesting. I thought Youngstown State early on looked like the Penguins weren't going, and then All of a sudden, they started marching, and they've looked a lot better the last 4 or 5 weeks. Fort Wayne, I was real high on coming into the year, my pick to win it all. They haven't looked great yet, but they do have the talent to win this conference tournament.
Yeah, we got five teams within one game of each other in the loss column there. And below that, number six, as Dorman said, hey, number six, you got Greg Campy sitting there, the winningest coach in Horizon League history.
Congrats, yeah, who's, by the way. Who's suddenly, you know, trending up. You know who isn't trending up is Cleveland State, just completely skidding off the road. After having a 3 or 4 game lead, they've lost 4 of their last 6, and I could see them going out in the quarters.
This game, this conference is played the first 2 rounds on campus sites, by the way. When you get to the semifinals, the whole thing moves to Indianapolis. Also, IU Indy should be gone by then. So there won't be a home court advantage anywhere.
Yeah.
Will Gottlieb be doing his radio show from Indy, or they haven't worked that out yet?
He'll be on Radio Row at the Horizon League opening round.
He'll be long gone from the conference tournament by then, I'll tell you that much. Cleveland State, a big one on Saturday, hosting Fort Wayne. That's probably the one biggest game on this conference schedule.
And they need a get-right game, and that might not be the one because, as you mentioned, Fort Wayne, pretty talented.
Well, they do go to Wright State before that, so which is not an easy game either.
Right.
So, Griggs, over in the Ivy League,
yes,
our lone team that's left that's undefeated within its conference is the Yale Bulldogs. They're at 11-0 now.
Yeah, and with 3 games remaining, they've clinched at least a share. I think they own the tiebreaker, so they may have already clinched first place. But the story here, Chad, is if you look at the logjam, you essentially have 4 teams going after that 2 spots with Princeton, Cornell, and Brown and Harvard, all within a game of each other and just 3 games to go. So it's going to come down to, as far as getting into the Ivy Four, another really exciting finish to the regular season.
Yeah. By the way, the teams you see in red have been eliminated for postseason play. So Columbia has no way to make the Ivy Four, cannot mm-hmm. win the national title, and is no longer on our survivor board up there on the top of the website.
Yeah. But after being the story of all of college basketball in November, they had a great November. They really did.
So, big games coming up here, including Friday night, a huge one between Brown and Harvard. Woo-hoo! The loser of that game is in big trouble for making the Ivy Four. The winner is in pretty good shape. The winner is in better shape. And Sunday, been moved to Sunday, normally playing on Saturday. Ivy League moved their Princeton-Cornell game to Sunday for national TV and ESPNU. So that's a huge battle as well. The winner of that game in really good shape to make the Ivy Four.
Yeah. So wow. And then just one more slate of games after this. So
yeah, there's still 2 more. Everyone has 2 more games after this. Just to remember another note here: the Ivy League tournament is being played in Providence. So if Brown can win it, if Brown can make it in there, that they'll have that home court advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Dorman, over in the Metro Atlantic, where I think we've got a real good 3-team race here between Marist, Quinnipiac, and Merrimack.
Absolutely correct. It's been tight for a while now, and I don't see that changing. This is going to go right down to the wire. Do they each have 3 games left, Chad? Is that the number? But
I think
either
it's
way,
four.
Uh-huh. I don't see anyone separating here between Marist, Quinnipiac, and Merrimack. I think your champion comes from that area. And like Chad said about a few other conferences, it's important because you'd like to get away from the 2 and the 3 because of the semifinals. You know, you don't want to see the other one. So if Marist can hold off, you know, you get an easier semi with Mount St. Mary's or Iona, while the 2 and the 3 are going to have to battle the same night. So real important as we go down the stretch. I'm going to stick with Quinnipiac, but this is as tight as it gets.
Yeah,
and Quinnipiac. It is a 20-game regular season here in the Metro Atlantic, by the way. But go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, Quinnipiac winners of 10 of the last 12. So, I mean, sort of on fire. Although Marist winners of 13 of the last 16, I suppose. So,
well, so was Quinnipiac. So,
yeah.
Well, actually, I think they played a couple early conference games. So maybe.
I think you're right. Yeah.
But upcoming schedule this week here, we'll start with Marist. They're at Sacred Heart and hosting St. Peter's. Quinnipiac is hosting St. Peter's and at Merrimack, and a huge one on Saturday. And then we've also got a Rider Merrimack game on Friday night. You wanted to keep an eye on here, but definitely circle Quinnipiac Merrimack Saturday. That's game could be decisive here for the conference regular season, honestly, or come very close to being so. I still don't know if we have Sleeker or not. So if we don't hear him. I see a picture though. Griggs, Mid-American Conference, and how about those Akron Zips? Go on Saturday to Ohio, get crushed
Yeah, they really did.
by an Ohio team that turns around last night and gets blown out by Western Michigan. But go ahead.
I guess they used up all their momentum in that game against Akron, despite getting crushed, and they did. And it in Ohio, a team that probably underachieved for a lot of the year. They certainly underachieved after blowing out Akron. Akron's still very much in control. A two-game lead with, I think, three games to go, and I still think that they've looked better than everybody else holistically. John Stalika's Mother Miami team, two games behind them,
Yes.
but I still, I mean, when they've met, it's gone Akron's way, big.
It has. And upcoming schedule here in the MAC wagon wheel game coming Friday
Wagon
night.
wheel
That's
on
a
Friday, yeah.
huge, huge game. And then Akron's at Toledo on Tuesday, which is another team that is near the top of the
Yeah,
standings, at
sneaky good
least.
Toledo, yeah.
So a couple games to look forward to here as we move towards the end of the regular season in the MAC. I'm going to do something a little bit out of order here, guys. I'm going to jump two conferences ahead because we've got a couple scores that could affect the next two conferences. Games are almost final, and I'd like to discuss them when they do. So, going a little bit out of order, Dorman, I'm going to jump all the way forward to the Northeast Conference. We'll come back to two leagues I just skipped here in a few minutes. But in the NEC, Central Connecticut is just continuing to roll.
They are continuing to roll. I actually watched a lot of that Chicago State game, but they never really pulled away. Chicago State, I believe it was senior night for Chicago State. Excuse me, that was Saturday night, earlier Thursday night. The Cougars played well. I thought they would not be able to compete, but they played Central Connecticut well. They ended up losing by six. Central Connecticut handled down the stretch and got some big stops, but the Cougars were in the game. And it looks like Central Connecticut now, with a two-game lead, is poised to take the one seed in the outright regular season Northeast Championship here.
Yeah, they are. And a quick correction we made, I think, last week is that Mercyhurst is not eligible for the Northeast Conference tournament as a first-year transitional team. Stonehill and Lemoyne are. So that is your eight, will be everybody but Mercyhurst. So there is not a big battle here between Lemoyne and Chicago State. They're both going to be in the conference tournament. How about Central Connecticut this week here, Griggs? They are hosting Lemoyne, and then they're at Wagner over the weekend. I believe the last two games of the season, am I correct?
Yeah, they are, and they've clinched at least a share. So if they win one of those two, and chances are they'll win two of those two, they have home court advantage throughout the conference tournament, where they'll probably win three out of those three.
Let me stick with you over to the Ohio Valley Conference, where SEMO is suddenly taking control of the league, honestly.
They have, with they've clinched at least a share of it. They're red hot. I want to say they've won nine in a row. I think it is. It's either 9 or 10. And not only that, but they've been winning impressively, and they've been winning against some of the better teams in the league. They do have a game coming up against SIUE, who's also been looking good. But I SEMO, it took them a while to kick it into gear in the first half of conference play. They weren't as impressive. They were actually several games behind a Morehead State team that's now many, many games behind them. The two just sort of traded places in the standings. But SEMO is on fire, and you kind of wonder, like, could they win out? I'm almost to the point where I think they're just going to win out through the OVC tournament.
Well, they've only got, I think, the two games left here. They are playing at Edwardsville, which is a tough game
That
tomorrow
is a
night. That
tough
is
game, yeah.
it.
And then they end the season at Eastern Illinois, which is not a tough game.
Not a tough game, yeah. And with the ladder format, it's looking like That's a big game for Edwardsville because it makes the difference. There's a big difference between second and third in this league.
There is, because you get the bye to the semifinals. And look at this also, though, Dorman. Then on
Yeah.
Saturday, Little Rock and Edwardsville go head to head in a game that may determine who gets that bye into the
I
semis.
was absolutely just about to mention that. Keep your eye on Little Rock. The Trojans are playing good ball. I love the coach Darrell Walker. He really makes them get down and play defense. I like the system. Like you said, Chad, that's a fantastic game and will decide so much Saturday night there in Edwardsville. That's the game of the weekend here.
Over the Patriot League, let me stick with you, Dorman, where based on tonight's scores, American losing at home to Navy, and Bucknell continuing to be red hot off of their blowout win over Army on the weekend. They win at Loyola tonight. We've got Bucknell suddenly tied for first.
Yeah, Bucknell suddenly tied for first. I saw Alex Rodriguez hit a half-court shot there over the weekend, and
Amazing. You gotta find this
amazing.
video. Yes.
It's great. And I believe a student received $10,000 or something. So it was really cool. Got the gym rocking, but the gym is rocking because the Bucknell Bison are playing good basketball, and they're right in the thick of this. And this the Patriot League has been Colgate's domination for the last few years, and not anymore this year. This conference is wide open, and if Bucknell continues this and American plays like they did tonight, the Bison could easily be going to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, there is only one conference game left, I believe, here, Griggs, coming up. It is Saturday's games. Bucknell at Holy Cross, American at Colgate. Also look for this Lehigh at Army game as Army tries to clinch at least a quarterfinal home game.
Yeah. So, again, another big finish. And like Dorman said, we're not used to that in this league.
But Griggs, let me stick with you. Next up is the SoCon, where the Chattanooga Mocs, they actually did not, I don't have a score from them tonight. I don't know, did they play tonight? Or are they still playing? Are they playing tomorrow? We'll
I
have to
think
figure
it's
that out.
tomorrow.
Yeah,
Yeah,
let's
this
try to
is
keep up
a
with the profile here. Yeah, they are playing tomorrow at Greensboro. Thank you. They did win, beat the Citadel in a very close game over the weekend and do have the still one game lead over UNC Greensboro.
Yeah, that would have been one of the bigger upsets. Because Chattanooga is not in anywhere near the bubble and probably not anywhere near the old NIT, it would have been missed. But I mean, there you can count on one hand the number of games where the two teams were 200 spots apart, and there was an upset. That would have been the biggest upset of the year, I think.
And well, you know what? It's kind of funny. The Citadel has had, I think they've lost like five overtime games in the conference play. They've been in a lot of their games until
Yeah.
tonight when Furman more than doubled up them. But if we throw that game away, that 85-42, Citadel has not been as bad as the 0-17 mark is, although
Although they lost 20 in a row.
until tonight. But
You're
we are set up
right.
for a set for a 7-10 VMI Citadel
We
play-in
are, and
game. We love
what
that.
kind of a story would that be if the Citadel beat them in that 10-7 game? I mean, that would define their season. They wouldn't need to do anything after that.
They get blown out by Greensboro or Samford, which they could,
Yeah.
but
I
maybe they go
almost
on a
think that
run.
beating VMI in a set, I almost think that would be enough. They wouldn't need any more. They would look back on this as a very, very successful season.
The big game tomorrow night, Chattanooga at Greensboro, first place showdown, honestly, in this conference. But
Yeah.
Greensboro then has to host Samford on Saturday, so this is a big week for them, actually.
Yeah, Samford's kind of digressed a bit, but still really entertaining and fun to watch and potentially dangerous. But I mean, Chattanooga, after getting off to a bit of a rocky start back in November, has really been on fire since then. And they've clinched a share of first place, and a win on t tomorrow gives it to them outright. They have
Yes.
not clinched a share of first place. They've got a one game lead with two. I'm
Two
not
to
mathing
go.
too.
There are two to go, but their last game's at VMI. As long as they win that one, at least they'll get at least a share.
I'm not mathing too good
You
tonight. So.
got it.
East Tennessee State's been coming on a little bit here too, as well, Dorman. They pulled out a 1-point win over Mercer tonight. Somehow it was a close game throughout, but
And another team I kind of want to point out is a team that's very much underperformed, but potentially dangerous in a tournament setting, a Chattanooga Furman quarterfinal, or you know, would be, or I'm sorry, a Chattanooga Furman semifinal
Semifinal.
would
Sign
be
me
a
up.
hell of a game.
Yes.
So, sign me up for the East Tennessee State Furman quarterfinal, though. I think that that would be a hell of a game, too. Dorman, over in the Southland Conference, McNeese is just running away with it now. We thought that Corpus Christi might give him a game. They didn't, and they crushed UTRGV as well.
And
Yeah,
McNeese.
we're I'm sorry.
I was just going to say real quick, McNeese has been so dominant that they clinched home court advantage back in October.
That's why I asked Dorman this question and not you, Griggs. Go ahead, Dorman.
We were disappointed a little in McNeese. At least Griggs and I were a little disappointed in the non-conference when they had some big chances against some of the power boys, especially in the SEC. And it wasn't that they didn't win; it was that we thought they could at least play with them, and they fell short. But like Griggs said, this team is coming on. This is the class of the Southland. I would be very surprised. This is not one of those conferences I think is wide open. I think this would be a big upset if McNeese doesn't take the Southland.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if they don't.
Yeah,
I think
you
they only have to play two games. I think they're going to roll those two games.
Yeah.
At home.
Upcoming this week, they are at Lamar and at Stephen F. Austin. Dorman, I'm going to stick with you again if the Greeks stole your thunder in the last conference. Over to the SWAC, where here's another conference where a team is starting to pull away, and that's the Southern Jaguars. They won the one game in the Bayou game over the weekend at Grambling.
So I guess we're going to get Southern and Grambling possibly in the first or second round there. So we're not going to get the Bayou Classic for a title, but Southern is to me the best team in the conference. They're starting to play good ball, so it's a great time to get hot. Again, this isn't going to be easy for them because I see a lot of teams that are very solid and playing. Seeds 2 through 8 are solid, and they're going to play good ball, and they know Southern system, and they've already played them this year, so they're not going to get caught off guard. Southern to win this conference, yes, I think they're the best team, but they're going to have to earn it because this is not going to be an easy SWAC conference tournament.
And Griggs, how about a shout out to Arkansas Pine Bluff? Number 363 in the net, yet they picked up their second win of the season. They beat Texas Southern at home earlier. They went on the road to Prairie View and won
Went on the
another game this
road to win,
weekend.
yeah, and really, really hurting their centenary chances, perhaps.
Yeah, Mississippi Valley, even though they do have a road win at Pine Bluff, is close to the centenary. We'll talk about that in a few minutes here. But I want to
Yeah.
stick with you, Griggs, over to the Summit League. Oh, sorry, there's the upcoming schedule, first of all. Southern this week at Bethune and at Florida A&M.
Yeah.
It's a tough Florida road trip. Bethune's a very lively team, actually,
Yeah,
and a
Cookman
tough
might
place to play.
be that they might be tested in that one. I think they'll win it.
Those fans turn out of those Bethune-Cookman games, too. They have a
Yeah.
great atmosphere in
Yeah, they
that
do.
small little building they have.
Oh yeah, and it's free and it's on YouTube and you should watch it 'cause God, it's yeah, those games are fun.
And
And huge.
Texas Southern at Jackson State Saturday
Yeah.
afternoon is another good one for.
Even more important, Pine Bluff and Mississippi Valley round two. But
Yeah.
anyway, that just fell off the screen there. Let me get that back up real quick. Pine Bluff, Mississippi Valley, round two. Mississippi Valley can win that. They'll have to sweep a Pine Bluff. So we'll have a big debate over who might be the Centenary Award winner for worst team in D1. But Griggs, over in
Yeah.
the Summit League, where Omaha,
It's
I
theirs.
think Rocco made a comment last week that they just don't look good winning games, but they just keep winning games.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. And they've got probably the coolest tradition in all of D1, like the bashing of the trash cans in the locker room
They put
and
in a couple
filming it.
pro wrestlers to do it after their last game. It was pretty
Yeah.
funny,
Right.
but.
And I mean, you know, they're taking over, they're going viral with it. Their final game is against Oral Roberts. I've studied this Oral Roberts team extensively and have concluded they're not very good. I think
But did you
Omaha.
see what they did last weekend? They beat St. Thomas,
Yeah,
that
they
Oral
did. They went
Roberts
and
team.
beat the Tommies. And of all the teams to knock the Tommies out, Oral Roberts. Oh God. Former conference front runners, by the way, but just struggling mightily this year. So Omaha, a game away from that, and South Dakota State is another team I kind of like a lot in a conference tournament setting to maybe beat Omaha if they can get by that. But I think Omaha wraps up the number one seed. I don't think they're going to lose to Oral Roberts. As crazy as this tournament's history is of eight, the eight beating the one in the quarterfinal game, and as much as we expected out of Kansas City and as little as they delivered, what about that?
I'll tell you what, if that 8-9 game is Kansas City, that's Omaha's first round opponent in the conference tournament. It's either that Omaha is going to be playing a Kansas City team that underperformed but has a second chance, or an Oral Roberts team that they're going to play in back-to-back games. You never want to play somebody 2 games in a row.
In how many years, dating back like 10, 15 years, it just seems like, and for many years it was the Leathernecks of Western Illinois who have since left the conference. You either that 1-8 game was either an upset or it was ridiculously crazy overtime, like skin of your teeth holding on. I mean, if can it happen again? Are we setting it? Are we setting ourselves up for it to happen again?
It would not shock me, honestly. But on the other hand, Dorman, I don't think Omaha is going to win this conference tournament, but I think Omaha is going to the NCAA tournament because I think St. Thomas is going to win it, which would give Omaha the bid as the conference champion.
Really? If you haven't watched the Summit League this year, you need to watch the last few games and watch the conference tournament. This is offensive basketball at its finest. There are some phenomenal shooters. There's some great athletes that take the ball to the hole. And like the guys just said, if your team catches fire, those teams can win games. So there is going to be a lot of exciting games, and this is wide open. South Dakota, the tournament's in South Dakota and Sioux Falls this year. They've been playing better than they have in the past. Wide open. I think Omaha, if they're going to do the double here, really going to have to earn it.
Yeah, North Dakota State, who is so bad at defense they can't guard a fire hydrant, but a really good offensive team and potentially really dangerous. I mean, when they get hot, they get hot.
Yeah, they do. So this could be a
The
fun
conference
conference.
tournament, Chad, real quick, most of the season was behind the paywall on the Summit League app, which we pay for because we're mentally ill. Please tell me that the conference tournament is not behind the paywall because that would be
The
awesome.
conference tournament for the first round in the quarterfinals is behind that paywall.
Oh, boy.
But once you
Saturday,
get
the semis, though, are on
the
CBS College
semis and
Sports.
the championship game will be on CBS Sports Net on Saturday and Sunday of not this coming Saturday and Sunday, the following Saturday and Sunday. Dorman, Sun Belt Conference, and how about James Madison? Preston Spradlin's team there now. Nice week, including a road win. Actually, they actually struggled in the game at Monroe, but they found a way to win it. But they went 3-0, and here they are, a game up on Troy.
This came out of nowhere. Like, I didn't see this coming. Preston Spradlin's first year there at James Madison, coming over from a very successful, great job he did at Morehead. I didn't see this coming, but slowly the team has gotten better and better all year. Troy slipped up a few times. I thought this Arkansas State team in the preseason was the team to beat. Then in the non-conference, they played some really big games and won them. But they haven't taken a control of the Sun Belt, and James Madison has, and they look really good. It's hard to go against the Dukes here.
It's hard to go against them, and we are coming right down to the end here. As we record this, actually, South Alabama is putting the finishing touches on a win over Southern Miss, but we're coming up. Griggs, I guess Arkansas State, Louisiana. Let's see if I get a quick score update on that as well. Arkansas
Arkansas
State
State,
is up huge
it's
right
up
now.
huge. The last I saw, I
Yeah,
turned
so
it over.
we're going to have James Madison at 13-4, three teams then tied at 12-5, going into Friday's games, and Friday is the end of the regular season here with some huge games actually with James Madison at Texas State, South Alabama with their game here, Appalachian State Marshall's another big one, and seeding is so
So
important when you
important.
look at
It
this.
yeah, and it's going to come down to the last
Not
game
a
of the
joke,
season.
people, not a joke. Go ahead.
How much, when we saw this back in whenever they rolled this out, September, October, I think we were all like, you've got to be freaking kidding me. They're out of their minds. But as the league has played out and as log jammed as it was, I think we've spent more time following the Sun Belt than we ever have before. I mean, it's just because every game, it was close all throughout, and then James Madison, just like a horse thundering down the stretch from the middle of the pack, wins 10 out of 11 to clinch, if not first place, at least a buy into the semis. What would you call that? A quintuple buy?
Yes, 7 rounds. They're gonna
Six
have a
rounds.
quintuple. They're gonna have a five round
Unbelievable.
bye.
Yeah.
A quintuple bye. You are right. That's a
Okay.
new one.
See, your math is on tonight. Math
Wow.
and Greg got it.
Oh, jeez.
Every regular season win is like worth a bye in this conference. It's
Yeah.
crazy.
As it turns out, it is. I mean,
They
it's
might be
been
onto
nuts the
something.
whole year.
If you're looking for something to do Friday night, watch all these Sun Belt games because we have so many battles here to
Yeah.
determine how many rounds and how many buys you get. Are you a quintuple or only a quadruple or only a
Yeah.
triple? I mean,
And I've decided I kind of like this. This is pretty cool.
the quintuple buy system.
Yeah.
Oh, we've lost the show, folks. We've lost the show.
Yes.
And we still got two conferences to go. I'm going to head back to one of them right now, to both of them, but starting the Missouri Valley Conference, and I was waiting on this because Drake was
Drake.
in a close game at Evansville. They did pull it out tonight,
Oh.
though, and Griggs, here they are now, two games up, with just coming down the stretch here with one more
This
game
would
to
have
play.
been, I mean, God, they almost barfed all over themselves. I don't think it would have killed them, but it would have certainly broken their ribs. And I part of this may have been, I think there was so much buildup for that Northern Iowa game for many reasons. It was a rivalry game. It was on national television. It had a lot of attention on it because people know that Drake might get inside the bubble and get selected without it. And I mean, you saw that game and how they won it, and it was just a real emotional game. Do you think that they almost just still had their head on the clouds and not their feet on the ground tonight? Because while I didn't see the end of the game, I saw a lot of it. I quit watching when we started the show. They just didn't look into it. And that's not like Drake at all.
And he may be right, Dorman, that this team just kind of maybe was a bit of a letdown after the way they won that Northern Iowa game by tying it at the end of regulation on a fouled 3-point shot. And when you make all the free throws, it was amazing.
It was an incredible ending. Like you said, he got fouled shooting the three, hit them all, go to overtime, and then they took over from there. I totally agree with Griggs. It was just a letdown spot. When the student athletes, it's like you have 30 games in a year. It's hard to be up for every game. And that, like Griggs said, they just got over the weekend playing the number two, a huge showdown on national TV, and you win it. So it's hard to come back down
And
to earth.
there's heat to that rivalry. I mean,
Huge.
yeah.
It was sold out. The Panther fans from Northern Iowa really
Yeah.
came out. They support their team. They always do. But that place was packed and jumping on Sunday. And I just think, like Greg said, it was just a normal letdown spot. They pulled it out in the end. And I do think Drake, the one I think they're getting, if they slip up in the Valley tournament, I think they're getting an at-large bid. My one big concern is the non-conference strength of schedule because, like, did you really try and go out and schedule? That's my one big concern. But I think Drake is getting an
I think
at-large bid
so.
if needed.
As long as they beat Missouri State over the weekend, that's the only thing. I mean,
Yes.
and it's a
And
home game against the last place team, who's in there going to be playing their very last regular season game in the Valley. By the way, Missouri State on their way to Conference USA next season, but you got to win that one, and then you're in. Even if I think if you slip in the quarterfinals, you're in.
You're fine. Yeah.
I think that they go in. Do you think they go in on the first ballot if they win on Saturday? I think they do.
Well,
I
Greg, here's what I'll tell you is that the first ballots will not be cast until after the Missouri Valley Conference tournament is over. So
Oh, okay, yeah.
we'll have the full resume before then. First ballots will be cast, I believe, on Tuesday or Wednesday of Championship Week. Valley will be done by Sunday. So, but yes, I do think that this team, I don't know if they're a first ballot team now. If they don't win the auto bid, I don't know that they are, but I think they get in. Put it
Yeah,
that way.
I do. Okay, as long as they're in.
A big battle for second place also on Sunday here. Northern Iowa and Bradley going head to head. Bradley tonight is up double digits on Valpo as we record this.
Yeah.
I want to save one last conference for last. It was never a feature conference all season, so why not save it for our last conference of the Under the Radar? Because we just had the win of the season tonight. Congrats to Maryland Eastern Shore, just took down NC Central, and that's why I saved the MEAC for last. They're putting the
Wow.
finishing touches on that. Congrats for their first D1 win.
Oh, taking
Everybody
down
has
North
one.
Carolina Central, their first D1 win of the year.
Oh, it is amazing. Let's get a little applause there.
Bam! Just like that. That's all there is to it, Dustin. That's awesome.
All right. I gotta tell you, honestly, I still think they're a front runner for the secondary award because Dallas State does have a road win. They don't,
Yeah.
but
And you're, yeah, they've lost to some pretty horrific teams at home, which is what you got to do to win that award.
but Griggs, how about the rest of the conference here? Norfolk State did what they needed
It's,
to this week. Yeah.
yeah, I think that is the rest of the conference. It's Norfolk State. They're two game, one more win, and they clinch at least a share. I think they went out, and I think they went out through the conference tournament.
Yeah, they've got I believe one more game or 11,
Two more,
11
or
different,
three more, I think.
three more games. Oh yeah, no, sorry. This is the
Yeah.
second week conference tournament. So yeah,
Yeah.
Norfolk State at South Carolina State and at NC Central. They better beat them after NC Central lost to Eastern Shore.
Yeah.
Well, Eastern Shore, by the way, they could pick up a winning streak here. They host Morgan State, then they're at Coppin State. Maybe they can get one more win
Oh
and
man.
really make the Centenary Award
Yeah.
wide open this year.
Yeah, it's rare that it's been this wide open, and they say that the bottom of college basketball can't keep up. This might be the most least deserving Centenary Award year ever.
We'll see, especially if Eastern Shore gets another win.
Yeah.
We may have to take a team with a road win. We might have to
Oh
take a
my,
team that
yeah.
ran a game. Let's go to some mythical conferences here.
Yeah.
How about the Beehive Conference in Utah Valley with that win over Utah Tech? Look at that 4-0 just running away
Yeah.
with it.
Yeah, I mean, running away, and I think they can wrap up that mythical bid to the NCAA
They
tournament.
do host Southern Utah on Saturday, so they got one more game
Yeah,
left.
well, they got yeah.
And
So,
they may have won in their conference tournament also. We discussed that earlier during the WAC, so
am I? Oh, okay. Yeah, that's Southern Utah, Utah Tech. The 8-9. Yeah, big Beehive and WAC games coming up.
Utah Tech still can get on the board.
Yeah.
Yes, they can. Let's check in on the Front Range. Still being won by Colorado.
Yeah.
Colorado State with a big win over Air Force, but I just love the story of the Buffaloes winning the Front Range. Dead last in the back in the Big 12, dead last in another conference we'll get to in a second.
Yeah.
It's just an amazing story.
Yeah, what a season they have had.
A roller coaster.
No Front Range games coming up this next 7 days here. Over in the back range. Dorman, your Arizona team's still winning it. But they do have a game coming up, I believe. Here it is
Yeah,
on Tuesday.
they host Arizona State, the Palsies.
A big rivalry, but the back
Yeah.
range title on the line is way more important than any
The winner of this game should win the back range title because 3-1 over 2-1 and a couple 1-1s would take the title. This is for all the marbles here on Tuesday night.
This is
Early
worth
win.
tuning into just because, the students, well, the fans and the students in particular, boy, are they going to welcome Bobby Hurley.
He had an interesting end to the game last time they played, to say the
Yeah,
least. But he
and
knew
a
it was for the
spe
back range, so hey,
yeah, spectacular post-game meltdown. It was
Up in the top range, the Zags are now there with Montana though. 6-1 is right on their heels here. Looks at least solid
yeah.
for a second place finish.
Right. And again, the overall percentage favoring the Zags, but Montana, perhaps the most impressive back range team this year.
They do have one more coming up against Eastern Washington Monday, possibly something in their conference tournament as well.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of back range teams in that big schedule.
And oh, I
Or
don't have the
top range
I
is.
don't have the graphic up. Let me see if I could find it here. You guys are going to see a little behind the scenes stuff here for a second here as
Okay.
I try to pull something up here. But we have Idaho State, Idaho on Thursday, and there it is.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Is that a
Yeah.
potato?
That is the King Spud Trophy on the line again for the second time this season on Thursday in the great Idaho State Idaho rivalry game.
Yes. Quickly becoming destination programming.
Where else are we here? One more conference with Colorado again in last place as the conference champions.
This one's way too this one's way too far-fetched.
Is far-fetched. And we got a lot of games in it, including
What?
Utah, Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, USC, Oregon. But
Yes.
no UCLA games here coming up in the next 7 days still. So, you
Yeah.
know, can anyone even catch them here? Utah, important game against Arizona State if they want to stay alive. They're
Yeah.
in the running, though.
Coach didn't stay alive, though.
Their coach is gone, and they could win the Conference of Champions. How about that?
Crazy.
I mean, that's why you don't fire Craig Smith,
It's like a
Utah
Don
Lakers.
Munson doing a Munson.
Top 10 list. The three of us and John Stalica, who almost made an appearance on the show
Yeah.
tonight, all voted, or the two of us. I don't think, Dorm, you got your vote. Under the radar, hoopshd.com, under the radar, top 10. Myself, Griggs, and Stalica voted. Some honorable mentions to start things off. Cal State Northridge,
Nice.
Morris Robert, and Utah Valley all getting at least an honorable mention. That Northridge team, first time we've mentioned them on the list this
Yeah.
season.
Yeah.
Tie for ninth between Northern Iowa and Bradley, the two other teams in the
Wow.
Valley, if we want to call them that
Yeah.
way. And a tie for seventh between High Point and Liberty, two very good teams as well, very dangerous
Yeah.
teams
Yeah,
for
two
ninth.
teams that are probably dangerous and can perform at a level that what higher than what we've seen so far.
Tied for fifth, we have Akron coming off that loss and that McNeese
McNeese.
team who's coming
Yeah.
on. At number four, it is the Yale Bulldogs, undefeated in conference still.
Yeah, and looking really good.
UC Irvine coming at number three. Number two, and this was not unanimous, but it was the Drake Bulldogs. Somebody voted Drake number one. Two other people voted them number two. But number one, under the radar team. Huge game tomorrow night at Northridge. It's UC
Yeah.
San Diego.
That is a big one tomorrow night.
On that note, that is it for Hoops HD Under the Radar for tonight and for the season. Let's start with some final thoughts and then we'll talk about what's going on coming up the rest of the season here. But Dorman, let me start with you.
I know I say it often, probably point like this last week, but Under the Radar takes center stage the next 2 weeks. I have nothing against the power guys, but we see Kansas and Kentucky and Arizona and UCLA all year long. But these under the radar programs and coaches work just as hard as any other program in the country. These student athletes have given it all. And when they're playing in their conference tournaments, especially if they're seniors, it's going to be their last game in basketball for almost all of them. They're not going to the pros. So they lay it all out on the line. And the theater and the games that come right down to it, and the ups, the highs, and the lows. It's just incredible. And the basketball is just as good as the power conferences. And I love it. So I'm so happy to watch them take center stage in the next 2 weeks. And I know all our great Hoops HD fans love it too, because Under the Radar is so popular here. So I'm excited for the country to get to see all these smaller schools and universities and colleges across the country get their shot at the spotlight.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more. Griggs.
I was debating on when to pull this out as a final thought, and I should I or shouldn't I? And I guess I figured since it's the last under the radar, although we're going to continue through the championship week video notebooks. This is just sort of an experiment gone wrong, and it was Wisconsin Green Bay's decision, not necessarily to hire Doug Gottlieb in particular, although if you're going to hire someone from the media, why him? But it just goes to show you that, like, you can. I think people that cover the sport and watch it and that work in the media don't have a full appreciation of just how hard coaching and working in college athletics really is. You can put people on television, and some are very talented, some are better than others, But take us for an instance. You know, we're not talented and we're not smart, and it's at least some facsimile of a show. It's recognizable as a show. You take someone from television and put them in an athletic department and give them a basketball team, it's going to be a disaster. Yeah, we at Hoops HD can put on a decent show, but if we were a coaching staff coaching a Division I team, we'd be winning the Centenary Award. It's hard, and sometimes when these people in the media talk like they're experts and that they know everything, I can't help but think you don't know anything. You know more than the people that are watching, but you don't know more than the people that are coaching it. And you, within 48 hours, I promise you, you would confront an issue that you would have no earthly idea how to handle. So I'm actually kind of glad this happened. I want Doug Gottlieb to go back on television after this is over and talk about just how hard coaching a D1 team really is.
This was a failure here at
Million
Green
percent.
Bay. But on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us for this entire season of Under the Radar. As I mentioned, this is not the end of Under the Radar by
Yeah.
any means. We are going into Championship Week video notebook mode. That means beginning Saturday, when we preview those 8, 7, 8, and 9, 10 games in the A Sun, we will be back and we are going to have a show, a championship video notebook show, where we are going to be covering every single conference tournament, as well as during the first week of it, the regular season action, pretty much everything. Every game that gets played, we're going to cover it every night on those
Yep.
shows. It is going to be nonstop Hoops HD. Every morning you can wake up and watch another one of our podcasts. So we're not going away. We're going into overdrive here. We're just not doing it as a regular Under the Radar show. So, on behalf of David Dorman, David Griggs, John Stalica, and Rocco Miller have joined us throughout the season as well. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again on Saturday with our video notebook. We're going to have more bracket rundowns. We'll have one more Hoops HD report. And but as far as Under the Radar, that we'll talk to you next season.
Yeah.